I have been doing some study in the Psalms. I've been writing a book on called Noon Meditations, and a lot of it has to do with the Psalms. Been working on that. Morning manna, Old Testament teaching, and then evening meat, New Testament teaching. But I've been looking at the Psalms, and I used to study the Psalms, you know, and read them as a young Christian. And I can remember as a young man, I couldn't relate to so many of the Psalms. I was like, I don't even relate to this guy, what he's saying. Now, many of the Psalms were written by David, some by Solomon. Moses wrote a Psalm. The chief musician, men like Jeduthun and Asaph, these guys were musicians over the choir in Israel, and they would write prophecies in the Psalms. Like Asaph wrote Psalm 83, and that's a prophetic psalm. It's all about the enemies of Israel that are all around the nation. I believe that psalm is about to be fulfilled. We've been waiting for that fulfillment when the final war in the Middle East will kick out those enemies all around Israel. Israel's going to expand their borders. That's all in Psalm 83. And then there are a lot of messianic psalms where it's talking about the Lord himself on the cross. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, the Lord guiding us right now. Psalm 24, the second coming. And there's so many prophetic psalms. I think other than Isaiah, you've got more scripture on Jesus Christ and his comings, his two comings in the Psalms being fulfilled. So a lot of prophecy are in the Psalms. But the one thing I found out as I got older in the Lord, I went through experiences in my life, and now these Psalms became a lifeline. And what the Psalms do, they're in the middle of the Bible. They're the heart. They're the emotions of how you feel sometimes. You don't always feel exactly like you should, right? And the psalmist will express his feelings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to relate to us as we seek to walk with God and as we struggle with God. So you can read those psalms and you can kind of get the feeling of the psalmist, but he doesn't leave you there, amen? He doesn't leave you in your feelings. He takes you to faith. And he takes you to hope in God, and he takes you out of that. And so it'll help to get your heart in tune with Almighty God. And so I thought about perhaps doing a series on the Psalms. Certainly I want to speak on some verses tonight in Psalm 31. If you'd go there, Psalm 31. And the name of my message tonight is When It Appears That You Are Cut Off From God's Sight. When it feels like God is not there, when it feels like God is not answering your prayer. Have you ever felt like that? God isn't there, and he seems far away, and he's just not there. And you will have those times when you will feel like that. And as a young Christian, I used to be captive to my feelings. And if God didn't feel like he was there, well, then I acted like he wasn't there. Amen? I got into sin. I acted like he wasn't there, and I doubted. But no, you can't. You can't do that. You can't be a mature Christian and do that. And so this is a psalm when it appears. You know, I've preached messages before on something called apparent desertion. How many of you are familiar with apparent desertion? Raise your hand. Apparent desertion. Yeah, that's when it feels like God has left you. He's deserted you. But we know that that's not true. We know he'll never leave us or forsake us. We know he's in us. He's always with us. He's sealed us to the day of redemption. But that doesn't mean that we don't feel like that sometime. And so I would like to look at Psalm 31, verse 22, 23, and 24 tonight to kind of focus in on when it appears that you are cut off from God's sight. What are you going to do? And number one, I want to say something to you tonight by way of encouragement. When you feel like you're deserted, when you feel like God isn't hearing your prayer, when you don't feel strong, your cries are being received in heaven even when you don't feel it on earth. Your cries are being heard in heaven. One of the big illustrations of that, I think, is in the book of Daniel. Remember when Daniel fasted and he prayed? He felt so weak he couldn't even get on his hands and knees without help. He felt weak. He wondered why God wasn't coming to his aid. He was crying out to him. And do you remember what the hindrance was? The hindrance was that the angel of the Lord that was coming to Daniel had to fight through the prince of Persia. He had to fight through the evil forces of Satan, and it took him 3 weeks to get to Daniel. So I'm saying tonight, Psalm 31 verse 22 says this: "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Have you ever in your haste said, "God, you just didn't answer my prayer"? By the way, you know God always answers your prayer. He could say yes, he could say no, he could say wait, or he can answer it, but in a different way than you expected. But listen, God hears your prayer even when you don't feel it. God answers your prayer. I remember a time I was going through that trial in 2017, and I went to a literal trial, and I didn't see the Red Sea cave in. I didn't see Pharaoh's chariot wheels come off. And I had prayed specifically. I'd said, "Oh God, take Pharaoh's chariot wheels and take them off." And that night I felt like, oh man, that didn't go well. I didn't think it went as well as I thought it would. I expect to see a great victory right there. I'd been praying for that. Others have been praying for it. And that night it was like a still small voice said, "But do you remember the solicitor that was against you, that his tire came off his car and he couldn't get there on time?" I was like, wow. Wow, it wasn't some spectacular display. It was the still small voice. You know, like Elijah, he wasn't in the big fire. He wasn't in the wind. He was in the still small voice of God. And that's how God works. He said, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications." You know, a while back, just a little bit ago, I shared with you all that I had been praying about my back. My back went out and it was hurting me. Usually it's the lower back, it's the middle back. And I said, "You know, God, years ago my lower back went out. I needed a wheelchair to walk around Disney World with my family. I'd been taking my son as we were traveling down to Florida and spinning him around. My lower back went out. And one time I just stepped off a curb and I looked like a pretzel. And I asked God to help me with that. I couldn't even walk. I said, how am I going to do my ministry? Now, I weighed about 225 pounds on a 5'10 frame. That wasn't helping. But you know what? I got on the way home from Florida. I went to a friend of mine, Ken Rudolph, a preacher. And he showed me an exercise. And from that day to this, I haven't needed a chiropractor. That exercise has thrown my back right in if it starts to go out. That's for the lower back. But I had this upper back, and I was like, oh, this is horrible. Lord, help me. Heal me. Give me help. And Kyle Donovan came by with a roller. And that roller I put on my back, and you get on that thing, and it clicked it. It just massaged that muscle, and it was feeling great. And I told the church about it. How many remember that? I told the church. And then the next day, right after I told the church, it came back with a vengeance. The pain was so bad. And I said in my haste, "Lord, I spoke like an idiot. I shouldn't have shared. That wasn't an answer of prayer. That was just me talking." But you know what? I said, no, I don't believe that. I believe that was an answer to prayer. And I don't know what's going on in my back, but I'm going to keep rolling on that thing. And I kept rolling. And you know what? It went away. And now it's just like that lower back, just like I asked God. I said, I want an exercise and I get on that roller anytime. So much so, my wife wanted to take my roller from me and give it away to somebody. That's the way she is. I said, no, you're not giving it away yet. Buy him one. But no, we're not giving it away. I need that roller. But God answered. And I'm saying, sometime we say in our haste, "You didn't hear me," but he does hear you, even when you think he's not listening, even when you think he's not hearing you. He is hearing you, and he will answer that prayer in a wonderful way, and you'll be blessed. And I was able to hold on with faith and trust God that he came through. And that's what we need. Remember the Greek woman that she needed her daughter had a devil in the daughter, and she needed the Lord to cast that devil out by his messianic miracles. And she went to the Lord for that. And the Lord said to her basically nothing when she asked for that devil to be cast out. The Lord didn't even answer. That was like rude. He was being rude to her. He didn't even answer her, you know? And then number two, when he did finally answer her, you know what he said? He said to her, he said, should we give the bread for the children to dogs? Now he insulted her. He called her a dog. And why did he do that? Because he was sent to the children of Israel at that time to do messianic miracles and not to the Gentiles. That would come later. And so he said that to her, and you would have thought that she would say, oh man, he's not listening to me. He doesn't care about me. I am going to say I'm cut off from the Lord. And I'll just have to. But she didn't do that. Can one of the men tell me what she did, what she said to the Lord? Brother Matthew's got it.
I'm a dog, feed me.
I'm a dog, feed me. Well, that's Matthew's paraphrase of it. But the way she put it was, what Brother Harold, what'd she say?
She said, I'll be happy to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
That's exactly right. You know, dogs will do that. I know Teddy Wu. He does that, doesn't he, Joe? And they take Teddy Wu. I was over at Joe's the other night, and that Teddy Wu, he's always there, ready to. And I feed him, and that just encourages him. It's no good to feed him because you encourage him. And so, you know, you feed Teddy Wu. The thing about Teddy Wu, he doesn't get fat. I don't understand it. Like Ginger, that muffin. But anyway, that's another subject. But anyway, I mean, he said, Brother Harold's right. I just take the crumbs. She just said, I'll take the crumbs that fall from it. I'll take that insult. I'll take it to heart. And he said, great is your faith. And then he did it for her. He did it for her. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight, number one is, and some of you are going through this, you feel like God hasn't heard your prayer. You feel like you're cut off from the Lord. That's your feeling. But the fact of the matter is, God does hear that prayer. God will answer that prayer. And he will not ignore you forever. And even when it appears you're cut off. So when it appears you're cut off, your cries are being received in heaven, though you may not feel it down here. There's a second thing, though. And that is, when you appear like you're being cut off, your commitment to show your love for the Lord will always be rewarded. Do you know the Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget our labor for him, our work for him, in serving the saints, in ministering to the saints, it says in Hebrews. And he said, you're still doing it. You know, when you go to church like Alex is doing, he's going to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. That's number one. And when you do that and you put God first, you know what? God sees that. Some of you've served the Lord in this church, and you feel like, well, does God really care for me? I've poured it out for him. I've committed my life to him. I was talking to Brother Bob Majeski the other day, and he was making a number of decisions to put God first. And, you know, when you're going through that, you may have a doubt in your head, like, now, is God going to come through for me, right? Is he going to come through for me? You ever been there? And the fact of the matter is, he does come through for you, but he will test your faith. He will test your faith. And so here's what it says in Psalm 31, and I'll read to you now in verse number 23. Let's look at that, Psalm 31, 23. Here's what the psalmist says. He says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud. Don't do like the Biden Justice Department and be filled with pride and arrogance and think that that is going to win out ultimately. No, love the Lord, pray to the Lord, trust in the Lord. Don't follow worldly people who seem to get their way by doing things pridefully. The faithful are the true saints who are humbly trusting God. They're not the proud doers who are led by Satan. And you know Satan is a proud dude. That was the first sin. He had pride and he wanted to be above God. And the temptation when you're trusting God and it seems like he has forgotten you, well, you're going to follow the wrong examples and you're going to go away from God. But in this psalm, he gives you two promises to claim instead of getting bitter and doubting God. He says that he will preserve you until he wants you to graduate to heaven. And what does he say here? Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Remember when Pharaoh chased Israel out of Egypt and wanted to destroy them at the Red Sea? God preserved Israel and made the pillar of cloud give light to them and darkness to the Egyptians, and he brought the water down on Pharaoh and his host. I like what Psalm 37, verse 35 and 36 says. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Now listen, I've had times in my life when I was serving the Lord, doing the will of God, and the devil used people to fight against me. Can I say something tonight? I believe that Donald J. Trump has to be anointed by God. How can a man his age stand up to all that? God chose the right man. God is preserving that man. And the fact that he's still here and he's still preserved, you know what that tells me? We are seeing the wicked continuing to spread himself like a green bay tree. But what does it say in Psalm 37, 35, and 36? Don't forget this. He says, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. You know what I've claimed, 2 Chronicles 20:23, that these people would rat one another out, that they would turn on one another, and that God would bring his justice and his judgment down upon them. You say, how can you do that? Listen, I've seen it in the local church here. I've seen folks oppose my ministry, oppose my burdens from God, and I've found out, here's what I need to do. When that happens, don't hate those people. Do what it says right here in Psalm 37, 1 and 2. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off and wither as the green herb. You know what you do when people oppose you if you're following God? When people fight against you, when they speak against you, when they lie about you, you do what our Lord did. You keep committed to God and loving the Lord and knowing that God ultimately will reward those people that are proud doers, and he will deal with them. And so keep your heart and love the Lord and serve him. And he will help you outlast and outlive your enemies. But you're going to need patience to do that. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is, when it appears that you're cut off, your cries and your prayers are being heard in heaven. And number two, your commitment to show your love for the Lord will be rewarded. You just need patience, and God will come through. We need patience to pray for revival. We need patience to pray for God to uproot the enemies of the United States of America and uproot the enemies of the Church of God in the United States of America. And we need to stick with the Lord and keep showing him love and keep being faithful to him. Don't you become unfaithful. You stay with it when it appears that God doesn't hear you, because he does hear you. And number three, your call to courage in those situations when it seems like God doesn't care is helped by God's promises. Look at verse 24 of Psalm 31. I'll read it. You follow. It says in verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, what does God say? You're not always going to feel strong. You're not always going to feel God's presence. You're not always going to feel like God is with you. Brother Hiles said one time he preached and he felt like he was all alone in that pulpit. And he said whenever he felt like that, he would stay with his outline and just keep preaching what was there. You know what he was doing there? He stayed with God, stayed with his word, stayed with his work. And God says, I will strengthen your heart. You may be weak now, but take courage in the Lord. You may not feel God's presence now, but act in faith as though God is there, because he is there, and know that God will be with you and God will bless you and God will strengthen your heart. I remember when I first started preaching, I felt very weak. And when I didn't feel God's presence, I couldn't preach. And I was shy and I wasn't able to go on. But you know what? I did go on. I stayed with God. And you know what he did over the years? He strengthened my heart. And one time, God called me to preach and be a pastor. And he gave me this promise in Joshua 1:9. And I want to give it to you tonight. He says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Listen, God is with you. God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may not always feel his presence. You may feel weak, like Paul did at Corinth. He felt weak and he was shaking and he was trembling. But what happened? God's power showed up. What happened? God saved people and God did a work. And so when you feel weak, have courage. And your call to courage, when you step out in faith and you have courage, God will strengthen you. That is his promise. When you are weak, he will, it says, strengthen your heart. By the way, I want to give a second great promise to those of you that are serving the Lord and you're stepping out in faith, but you're feeling your flesh go against you. You're feeling the devil attack you. God says this in Psalm 31, same Psalm, verses 19 and 20. He says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You know what? People may speak against you. People may attack you. They may oppose you. But God said, I know how to hide you. I know how to protect you from those that want to get rid of you and stop you. And I think about, what is it now, the third indictment, the second federal indictment against the duly elected president of the United States, who got more votes than anybody in history, and yet Biden in the basement got 81 million votes, more than anyone in history. Who are you trying to kid? If you believe that, I got swampland in Florida to sell you. I don't believe it. And I'm with almost half of America doesn't believe it. So I don't believe it. And I'm just saying to you tonight that yet this Justice Department under quote-unquote Biden, under Obama, under the deep state and under the devil, they're doing all they can to stop the man from running. They don't even want to give you an opportunity to vote for him. Why? They don't care about you. They don't care about you. It's you. They don't. It's our democracy, like Hillary said. What that means is we control it. We control the vote. We control. You have no say in it. It's our democracy. And that's where old Hillary is, you know, and where these folks are. Now, I've seen the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree, and then I looked and he wasn't. And so I'm telling you, God did it before. He can do it again. And he hears prayer, beloved. And so get courage, strengthen your heart to keep praying, to keep. And you notice I keep speaking about it. Hey, do you know I don't ever move on when it comes to election fraud? Somebody said, paid me a compliment. They said, you're like a bulldog. You just like a bulldog for Jesus. And you know what? A bulldog, if you want to teach a bulldog to water ski, just give him a holder to put in his mouth, and put that bulldog in that water ski, put him on water skis, and he'll keep clamping on that. Even when he falls down, he's still clamping on that thing. You could drown the thing, and he'll be clamped on. And you know what? I've clamped on to this. I'm not giving up on election fraud, because that's foundational. If you don't have a vote, you got nothing. You are in a tyrannical dictatorship, and that's where we are in the United States. But that's not the God-given Constitution we've been given. We've been given a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that means we get our vote, amen? And it's been stolen. And so we need to pray to God and speak out, and God will give us back our vote. And it is an information war, and we need to speak out. That's why, by the way, when people try to tell me, don't preach on that, you're preaching on politics, preach the Bible. Read your Bible, man. Read the Psalms. It's full of prophecy, and it says that these times would come. And I know the one world government's coming, but just not on my watch and not here and not right this moment. Amen. I'm just saying, we got work to do for the Lord. And so I'm saying, get courage. Even when you feel like God has forsaken you, you don't feel like he hears your prayer. I guarantee you, based in verse 22, he does hear your prayer. Your cries are being received. And then keep showing your commitment to God. Keep loving and serving the Lord, because that will be rewarded. And God will bring down his judgment upon the proud doer. Sooner or later, God will hear your prayer. And your call to courage, God will give you the strength to overcome. And he will also keep you safe in his pavilion. And you know what? I do believe, you watch me, but I do believe in answer to prayer, all these things they're doing. Do you know the latest charge even includes a death penalty in it? A possible death penalty? Did you know that? They can kill him legally, they're saying? Do you know that? Yeah, it's there. And put him in jail for life. You know what? Man can propose, but God will dispose. I believe God will keep him, because he's been out for America. He's not a perfect man. He's got a lot of flaws, but he's out for America. That's better than these devils that are out for themselves, and they're selling out for money. Money talks, and they all jump up and down like a bunch of prostitutes, and it's sick. And so I'm just saying, God can take care of you. Remember Elijah? God hid him by the brook Cherith. He fed him. He took care of him. And when God was ready, after 3.5 years of that, beating the people up, then Elijah came out, man, and fire came down, and water came down, and the victory was won. I'm saying tonight, I believe in God's power, and I believe in prayer, and I believe in God's promises that he'll preserve us. He'll protect us, you see. And he'll give us strength and courage. Even when you don't feel it. He's there. He hears. He's answering your prayer. Especially you young people. I know what it's like. But I've seen God come through. And he'll come through for you. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed. And we've been talking about God's coming through. When it appears that you're cut off, God is receiving your prayer. Your commitment to show your love for God will be rewarded during these times, and your call to encourage yourself in the Lord is helped by God's promise that he says he'll strengthen you, and he says that he'll come through for you and protect you until he brings you forth to get the victory. He's glorified in that. He's glorified in our weakness. And I wonder tonight, you say, preacher, I need that courage. Preacher, I need that faith. Preacher, I need that hope, because I've been tempted to doubt God and then to depart. And I don't want to do that. So pray that I be strengthened. Would you raise your right hand if that's a need in your life tonight? Amen and amen and amen. Thank God for that. Amen. All over the auditorium, I'm going to ask we all stand together. And I want to have a final prayer. So as the invitation is given, if you raised your hand, would you come to the altar? And we're going to pray. Brother Bob, would you come? even ask Brother Bob to lead us in prayer for these things that we've been talking about tonight. Way back at the beginning when we went through this trial, we were praying, and we haven't stopped praying. And so tonight, I thank you for some of you in your own personal life, you need this. Some of you in your family, you need this. We certainly need it in our nation. And so tonight it has application, personal, family, national, and let's not leave out our church, amen. We need it in the church. We need a move of God and a breakthrough for God. Somebody says, thank God, even though we may not have great numbers, we have a great God. He's with us. And I believe that's so, but I'm not willing to stay there. I have a vision.